Hello and welcome to my anchor podcast, D. Salvucci's Random Podcast. This is the second season. I'm moving my educational topics over to my Podbean podcast and keeping this for my personal thoughts and musings and ramblings. This episode will focus on the big game coming up Sunday, which is tomorrow, Super Bowl 55, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers versus the Kansas City Chiefs. Due to my schedule this week, this bad boy is dropping the night before the Super Bowl. Admittedly, not the best time for a Super Bowl podcast to hit the internet. Or I should say a pre-Super Bowl podcast to hit the internet. Straight up, over this whole Super Bowl, I have to say I'm rather conflicted. I'm torn about who to root for. I don't have a horse in this race. My hometown childhood favorite team, the Pittsburgh Steelers, did not get out of the first round of the playoffs. It was a rather disappointing season. But not going there. Can't get into details yet. It's still too raw, that loss. Conflict mainly arises from not knowing who to root for. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, not Pat Mahomes, Patrick, the Kansas City quarterback, is a once-in-a-lifetime transcendent player. He's changing how we measure that position. And everything's being measured up against him and how he plays. So I've been rooting for him for the last several years once the Steelers were eliminated from contention or failed to make it into contention because we didn't make the playoffs the last few years. On the other side of the field, we have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a team with many Pittsburgh connections. At the top, you have Bruce Arians, BA, former offensive coordinator for the Steelers, and a plethora of other Western Pennsylvania connections. There's a good article in the Post-Gazette entitled How the Buccaneers Became Something Like the Tampa Bay Steelers by Brian Bacco. I was going to get into the specifics of the article. In fact, I have it here, printed it up, and there's all kinds of information. I've highlighted, took notes, and did all this legwork. I was going to get into some of the things that former players, and people with Pittsburgh connections, and I had all these notes, and lo and behold, the Post-Gazette put out their own podcast. That's where Brian Bacco, that's where he writes for, who he writes for. And they put out their own podcast on the topic. So no sense me copying their work. The podcast is on postgazette.com with Ray Filippato and Brian Bacco. You can check that out on their website. So all of that is out the window. But back to what's really driving me nuts. You have a transcendent quarterback versus hometown loyalty, even though those hometown players have moved away. And then we have what causes the conflict. Now, you may or may not be wondering what is causing this conflict inside me. You may not care. I'm going to tell you anyway. If you're not a Steelers fan or an AFC fan, you may be lost as to what the conflict could be. But if you're either of those, the elephant in the room is TB in TB. Tom Brady in Tampa Bay. Tampa's quarterback and the suggested reason why they pushed through and made it to the Super Bowl, Mr. Tom Brady. The man quarterbacked the boogeyman of the AFC for the longest time. For a good chunk of my adult life, the New England Patriots have been the team to beat, the measuring stick of the AFC. It pains me to say that, and being a Pittsburgh fan, most people in Pittsburgh thought we were the standard. To paraphrase Coach Mike Tomlin, the standard is the standard, and we thought we were the standard. But, unfortunately, the New England Patriots were the standard. And Tom Brady was the quarterback of that team. Steeler fans specifically and AFC fans in general bristled the thought of giving the New England Patriots credit for their accomplishments, especially with some of the controversies that the Pats stirred up. Spygate, Deflategate, the anti-aging gate, which if you listen to certain talk shows and podcasts such as the Lebertard Show, the question always arises, you know, the guy doesn't age. Tom Brady doesn't age. How does he do that? The fact that New England's won 6 Super Bowls and played in 2 others cuts Steeler fans very deep. And it's just rough from that standpoint. So as I ponder this question and go into my chin-stroking, pondering motion, why did he have to go to Tampa Bay of all places? Because I was a Tampa fan. I was a big Bruce Arians fan when he was our offensive coordinator, when he was our quarterbacks coach, and a lot of the players on Tampa I was fans of. When they were in Pittsburgh, had Pittsburgh ties. So Tom Brady shows up there, and it's like holding me back. Like, do I really want to root for them? Because, you know, he has always been like the enemy of our team, the arch enemy, the arch nemesis of our team. And I guess it kind of, you know, a couple outcomes could come here. You know, I'm kind of leaning towards Tampa Bay because of the local ties. And I liked them from way back when Mike Allstott and some of those players were on my fantasy football team. So, thinking of things, maybe, you know, hoping Tampa Bay wins, but Tom Brady doesn't play well. So, Tampa Bay would kind of win in spite of Tom Brady's performance. That I could probably live with. I think the worst case scenario would be, you know, Tom Brady to shine in, on the big stage and play at an MVP level and possibly have some fourth quarter heroics, a come from behind victory, last second victory, and lead the team down the field, and they win based on his arm and his ability. That would crush me, I think. Not that anyone cares, but it would just bother me. I think when the Steelers lost to Green Bay, I didn't listen to sports talk shows or any sports shows for about a month and a half, because I just don't want to hear talk about Aaron Rodgers and how good Green Bay was. Eventually got over it, and then I heard a podcast, once again, the Lebatard show with Stu Gatz, and I heard Aaron Rodgers, because I wasn't a big fan of some of his commercials for State Farm, and then I heard him speak, and he was very different from the image I had in my head, the arrogance, the arrogant, cocky attitude that I seem to see personified. And you have to understand, you have to understand that to get to that level, you have to have some sort of arrogance and extreme confidence to play professional sports. So I understand that, but it just because he beat the Steelers, I kind of had a chip on my shoulder against him and didn't like him till recently. And, you know, heard him speak and saw that, you know, he's actually a pretty cool guy. So that has worn away. So I'm thinking, you know, maybe hoping Tampa Bay wins. And as long as Tom Brady doesn't play well, I'll be happy. You know, I might be wrong about Tom Brady. He may be a swell guy. I haven't really heard him speak too much. He's rather quiet. And the mystique about him and the way the national pundits talk about him kind of gets on my nerves. But that's what happens when you're the best. I grudgingly say that. But the guy has won so many games, and at 43 years old, he's still playing at a high level in the NFL. So, you know, maybe I'm wrong about him, but worst case scenario, he's the hero of the game. Best case scenario, Tampa Bay wins in spite of him. And I guess it's a toss-up. If Kansas City were to win, with Patrick Mahomes playing well, I'd be happy with that too. Although I'd be kind of bummed about, you know, Coach Arians and some of those guys losing to an AFC team. Now, as I get ready to wrap up this podcast, I want to mention two bits of information. These two sites that I'm talking about, these two organizations that I'm talking about, no way, shape, or form support my podcast, advocate, or believe in the ideas of my podcast. Those are just my ideas and my ideas alone. But both of these organizations do deserve mentioning. One is PAECT, the Pennsylvania Association of Educational Communications and Technology. If you're an educational stakeholder, check out paect.org to see what's going on in educational technology around Pennsylvania. Join thousands of educators or educational stakeholders to network and help strengthen the use of best practices in educational technology today. The second organization, it's actually several organizations that have come together, is 211.org if you're on the internet, or you dial 211 from your phone and find local social services in the United States and most of Canada. If you're an individual or family in need, in distress, reach out to these fantastic resources through 211 or 211.org for help, especially in times of the pandemic. A lot of people could use somebody to reach out to. 211.org is there for you. So if you need to, take advantage of it. If you know someone in need, have them take advantage of it. Help them reach out if need be. In the meantime, have a great week. I'll be back in a couple of weeks with another episode. Not sure what the topic will be about, but it'll be about something. And I have a weekly podcast going out on Podbean, Mr. Sal's podcast and that. And that is a weekly recap of happenings in my classroom. Talk to you later. Have a good day.